accession number 17435, Reel 2.
Mr. Driscoll, Reel 2.
Right. Well, from Naples we're shipped off to North Italy and put in a camp, Campo 52. That was not far from Genoa. And it was a rather comfortable camp. We were quite all right up there. It wasn't too bad being a prisoner of war. We had Red Cross parcels, and things were doing fine. Until the day come when the Germans wanted their prisoners that was captured in the desert back into Germany. And, of course, me down as a mechanic, I had to be one of the selected ones. So I was sent from Campo 52. We were all bunged into trucks and sent up to the Brenner Pass in the Alps, and there they were. The Germans were lined up both sides of the platform. We were put on cattle trucks. The doors were slammed tight, and that was it. We were shipped into Germany. It was a horrible position that was, because we were jammed so tight you couldn't breathe and you couldn't put your feet out to sleep or anything. And we shifted after a while right up to across Poland into Silesia, which is Poland actually, but we then come to a railhead and they opened the doors and let us out. We didn't realise where we were, we just knew that we were there. But it was a place called Blechhammer, which is a factory area. Blechhammer.
You should say this is February 43.
That's right, yes. And from there, we were sent to down the road to these big gates. Mind you, we don't know a thing that actually is going on. We just everything's so rapid, if you think, with the time. Big gates, and I've got Arbeit macht frei across the thing. We don't know what this is. Open the gates, marched in. All on the way, got guns trained on us all the time. And strip off. We strip everything right off. And it was bitterly cold. It was freezing. We stood on snow, deep snow. And they opened these big doors, big ovens. We had the rollers close up, put them in this oven. Then we stood outside for 20 minutes, half an hour. Blew the cold. They come up, opened the gates, and threw the clothes out. What a relief. It was fumigated. We've been cleaned, fumigated, that's what it was. But we didn't realise at the time that we were in Auschwitz concentration camp. That's where we were. And you see, we knew about what was happening in Germany with the Jewish, right? But we didn't know it was so bad. We didn't know anything about they were exterminating millions of Jews or anything. We didn't know it. Anyway, what a relief it was to us to march out of the gates again and then marched up the road. And we went to a nice little camp called E714, which was a working camp, all in there for workers, forced labour. And it was saturated, this little camp was saturated amongst Ukrainians, French, every nationality I can think of was in camps and that thing. All forced workers. For Farben's IC Farben's, the chemical factory. And that factory was turning out everything you can possibly think of from coal. I always remember all the lot of the stuff they turned out, it was from coal. And we were got up in the morning, forced to go to work. And we passed by a political camp just down the road. And this is one of the horrors that starts with you. They used to hang these political prisoners and hang them outside. And as we marched by, there was the prisoners hanging outside. And that's a nightmare, I tell you, to go by things like that. After all, we're only 21, you know, youngsters. You know.
How many of these hangings, dead bodies?
Every morning. There's new ones up, and every morning along outside. It was the answer, Germans' answer to the political prisoners. They were political prisoners. They were in striped green uniforms. Striped green. Not like the Jews was in the black and white, you know. They were in striped green. And then we used to go to march down and march into the works, Farben's works. And in Farben's works was all the Jews working. And the way they were treated in there was absolutely diabolical. I must admit, we weren't treated too badly. We were given a job to do, and it was a waste of time, because every job that we'd done, we messed up. You know. But the Jews, they were treated so badly. They're in their, I'll give you an idea. In the centre of the factory was the Kesselhausen, which was three great huge chimneys. Now, that was the artery of the factory. And they made the Jews go up and clean these chimneys, and when they fell, they left them for everybody to see. And it was, things like that was terrible. The Jews were kicked and beaten up, and we couldn't do anything about it. What chance have we had? We had nothing. And I was working in a factory called Beetree Controlli, which had turned out little pipes and bending the pipes for selling in the liquids. And it was horrible to be in there, because we used to be bombed nearly every day. And now when I'm talking about day bombing, it was about 1,000 bombers a day. You had the Americans come over, the Russians come over, and then you had the RAF in the night. And the Germans give us the rule that if any of you escape on an air raid, we will keep you all in the factories. And the Jews were kept in the factories. And anyway, we said, all right, we won't escape. We won't escape, because you think we escape, I'll get away. And many of my mates will be killed because I escaped. So we give our word. And they used to let us out into the fields. But not the Jews. The Jews had to stay. And then the Americans come over one day and drop unexploded bombs. And leaflets went after saying, stay away from, don't work for the oppressor, don't work for the enemy. You will stay away from the works. Now was very clever, wasn't it? These bombs we drop, our unexploded bombs, can go off today, tomorrow, or next month. We don't know the timings. Now that was very clever, wasn't it? Fancy telling the Germans that they've got to stay away from the works. There was people there, French and all that. And we jumped up and morning. No, we ain't going in. So when we looked, we got two machine guns trained on us. If you ain't going in, it's what can you do? We went into the works, and they let all the Jews from Auschwitz go in and get the bombs out that was unexploded. Germans didn't go in, but the Jews had to go in to get the bombs. And they gave them little hand carts to put these bombs on, 500 pounders on these hand carts. That's all it was.
So, did any of these bombs go off?
Yeah, many killed. Yeah, many of the Jews killed. The bombs were going off all the time. And I saw one truck full of bombs coming down, pushed by about six Jews. And how they'd managed it, I don't know, because they had to load these bombs onto trucks. They're monstrous great things to the Jews that's undernourished. And all of a sudden the bomb went off. And that was splattered all over the place, everywhere. We're very lucky that we didn't get our bomb, but we managed to get through it. But we did have the bombers come over and drop two bombs onto one of our camps, killed 30 of our chaps. And it was just, they couldn't help it. They just had a bomb in the factory, and of course some of the bombs had to go onto some of the camps. They even dropped two bombs onto Auschwitz concentration camp, and it was just chaotic. It was nothing organized properly. They dropped bombs on the camp wire of Auschwitz for the Jews to escape. Well, it was hopeless. How could the Jews escape? They got no clothing, no nothing, no food, nothing at all. It's just hopeless it was. Anyhow, it went on after a while, and then we tried to help the Jews. We could give them a little bit of our rations and food, what we had, but we couldn't do anything for them. There was this talk of swapping over with one of the Jews by one of our chaps to go into Auschwitz to find out if there was any British in there. But I don't think, I think it was just a story. I don't think it was actually happened. And anyway, we used to meet the Jews every morning, and some said, I'm down on the list. And next day, you know, he's gone to the gas chamber. It was pretty saddening, that lot, you know. It was like being in hell. Well, then after that, went on, managed to get through the winter, was drawing on and getting cold, and the Russians broke through at Krakow, and that is the Silesian border, and they broke through and caused panic amongst the Germans to evacuate everybody. So they put everybody out onto the road. The Jews in Auschwitz that couldn't walk were lined up against the wall, and we had a witness them being shot. We saw the Jews being shot, not only by the SS, but by Jews. It was called Kapos. They were put in charge of bands of Jews for working, and they also got extra rations and things, but they gave them rifles and they were shooting their own people down.
Why were they being shot?
They couldn't go on the march. They were too ill or too weak or disabled, as they couldn't march. Anyway, we lined up with the Jews that were to go on the march, and off we set. Little did we know it was going to be a nightmare march, that one that went, in the end, 1,000 miles was marched, and that was recorded. We went through Czechoslovakia, down through the Bavarian Alps, 40 below zero. All we had was ordinary boots. Some of us didn't manage to survive with overcoats. We saw all the dead Jews on the side of the road that we were marching through, because they just could not make it. We come to the Oder River, which was frozen over. That was covered with dead Jews. And that's where I saw Mr. Glassbrook. He saw exactly the same as I did. That was a gun limber come down the road. Magnificent it was. This gun limber was all beautiful polished leather. The horses, big horse team, marvelous, pulling a gun. And went down, and the Jews were crossing the road, and it went right through them. It didn't hesitate. Went right through the Jews. Many killed and dying there. Now Glassbrook witnessed the same as I did. He saw it, and he could never believe it. And when I said I saw some horses with beautifully polished leather come down through, he said, I saw that. And we didn't know until after the war. Anyway,
what was the reaction of the men on the limber?
On the limber? No, hard. Didn't care tuppence about killing Jews. They didn't care. They just went right through. The hatred was terrible in their face for the Jews. It was schooled right into them. They had to hate the Jews, and they did. We used to see young kids there with rifles beating Jews. It's terrible. Anyway, we got on this march. We went through, managed to lose a few of our boats that tried to escape, but it was hopeless to try and escape from there, because if you escaped and got to the Russians, you were very bad off, because they couldn't believe that you were Englishmen. And they shot a lot of our chaps. And then anyway, a lot of our chaps escaped from the Russians, got back to the German line, or to the German prisoners line. So we went, then We finished up by going through a town called Brooks, which was frozen over. It had just been bombed the night before. It was a mining town. And the bombs had blown up the cemetery. And always remember, as long as I live, all the contents of the graves were hung in the trees. And what with the snow, white snow, and the mines, coal dust, covered in coal dust, it was like a nightmare. It was coming through hell. I couldn't believe it. And that's what we saw as we marched through Brooks. Some blokes nearly went mad when they saw it. They could not believe that it was still alive, that they were to see it.
What exactly did they see?
Well, Brooks was bombed by the RAF the night before. And they bombed the mines, but they also bombed the cemetery. See? And the cemetery, the graves was blown, their contents all up into the trees. And it was hung in the trees, skeletons and whatnot, and covered with snow and coal dust. Couldn't believe it. If you tell anybody that sort of thing, they said, oh, that's fiction, but it was true, perfectly true. Well, anyway, we managed to limp through eventually to a town called Moosburg, a camp there, which was full of some of the prisoners coming in, survivors of the marches and whatnot coming in, not far from Munich. And we were there for about a week or so, and the Americans broke through, come right through the wire, and we were free. I always remember the stars and stripes went up on one side of the camp and the Union Jack the other, and I saw great guardsmen and they're crying like babies. I couldn't believe it.
It was like Moosburg.
Moosburg, yeah, just off of Munich. And they marched the Germans by us, and the Germans are throwing their tin helmets over to us and whatnot. And we were taken to a place called Landschutz Aerodrome, put onto a coat of planes, 28 in each plane, flown from Landschutz to Reims in France, and put on Lancaster bomber, and brought back to England.
Can I just take you through the account of Auschwitz again, please, so that I can get it clear as to what happened to you? You said that before Auschwitz, you went to Blechhammer.
That is Auschwitz, really.
Is that nearby?
That is Auschwitz. Blechhammer is the place where Farben's factory was, which was looking at Auschwitz.
Is this the chemical factory?
Chemical factory, yeah. Vast mine, is a vast factory. That was terrific.
So you were really working at Blechhammer?
Blechhammer, yeah. Farben's factory, yes.
How far is Blechhammer from the actual concentration camp at Auschwitz?
About a quarter of a mile, not much more.
So first of all, you went into the Auschwitz camp for
fumigation. Yes, yes.
Did you realise where?
We didn't know it.
Where you were going into?
We did not know. We did when we saw over the works. Our bite MacFry work makes free, didn't we see? That was over the gates. We didn't even know then what it was. We hadn't been there long enough. And we didn't realise that so many millions were being killed in that camp. We didn't realise it was Auschwitz concentration camp until we got outside and lined up, and that said, that's Auschwitz. And we saw the Jews. We didn't realise it was a concentration camp.
Did you get bathed as well? Did you have a shower at Auschwitz to get the lice on?
No, no, didn't get none of that. No shower. No, we just had fumigation, that's all.
But
they dusted us with dust, you know. But no shower. We were glad of that too, because it was about 30 below outside where we were waiting to do that.
So you were covered in lice, were you?
Yeah, there was a good bit of lice about, but we weren't actually covered in it. We had just come from Lambsdorff, which was a pretty clean camp, you know. Lambsdorff, that's Stalag 4B, which is a marvellous transit camp. It was a pretty clean camp, that.
Did you see anything of the Jews inside Auschwitz?
Yeah, oh, we saw the Jews, yeah. After, when we were marching by the camp, we saw the Jews in all their chalets, and we saw the gas chambers. I see, and that's, then we realised what was happening.
Do you remember who else was with you in your party of British POWs? Do you remember any of their names?
Yeah, Ted Joe's the only
one. Ted Joe and Mike that just died.
Yeah, eh?
Your pal Mike that just died.
Oh, Mike, yeah, he was in... James. Yes, Ted Joe. He was with us, and...
Y-E-O.
And a chappy, a mate of mine that I... I think he's dead. He was at Scotland, wasn't he? But out there... Perth, Scotland. But he wrote to me every year, and he had no letters from him.
About Mike Sharkey.
Mike, he's dead. That's not good. And Ted Yo is not too well. He's just had a stroke.
You didn't know of a chap called Coward, a sergeant.
Ah, that was hard. Now that's it. I mentioned to you just now about talking about changing over with one of the Jews in the camp. So the Jew come back and went into the British camp, and he stuck it to go through to find some English people that were supposed to have been in there. That was Sergeant Coward done that. But I never met him, but I know that he was in one of the camps, and he was supposed to have gone into Auschwitz, changed over. Well, he'd done it on a working party, working in Farben's factory. Got down, changed with his uniform, with the Jewish uniform. We went back to Auschwitz, and the Jew come back to our camps. And the Jew lived well, you know, because we had better rations than they did. And then the next day, they changed over again. But I didn't know it personally. It was in the camp. It was supposed to have been Sergeant Coward. I think he wrote a book after. Yeah.
Now, can you tell me again the work that you were doing, the job that you had to do at Black Hammer?
Well, Black Hammer, our job, we were making pipes, which the liquid was being transferred into rail cars, and the rail cars then would take off to the various Stuker factories or whatever the oil was going. And we made the pipes, but we used to fill them up with sand, and our welders used to weld them right through, so there were stubbins in there. We'd done more sabotage, and one of the Germans didn't shoot a lot of us, you know, because we got away with quite a lot. And that's what we were doing, Betriebs control, yes, pipe control, and instruments to control the thing. That's what we were doing. But in the factory, there was everything. There was, our chaps were working on the roads, some of our chaps. Some was working in plants, in, supposed to have been checking various instruments that's going out to parts of the country, sort of a inspection controller, you know, that can inspect to see that it was all right. But I mean, fancy giving that job to an Englishman. He was just saying that's all right, knowing well it was a bad one. That was working with the French, a lot of them. But but some of the jobs in the factory was turning out that we found out after the poison gas for Auschwitz, and we realised it after the war, you know, that was what was being turned out there, because we knew where the plants were. They were turning out this poison gas, which was just going across the road to Auschwitz.
When you did your job, how exactly did you produce these pipes? How did you do it?
Yeah, we had supervisor over the side, an Unterhaus officer, which is a German corporal, you know, sergeant. He's supposed to show me how to weld and all that sort of thing, you know. But alright, he showed me how to weld, and then after he'd gone, I used to just put the blowtorch a little bit too deep and choke a pipe and weld over the top of it, see? That's what we used to do, and it didn't do any good at all. Nothing went out of that work factory that the Germans had done. They knew it too in the end, I think, because they realised it. As one episode there, I'm not going back now. When we were in Lambsdorff, when I went into Lambsdorff, that's study 4B, they'd just done Dieppe raid. They'd done a raid on Dieppe. Churchill had said, give an order, capture the Germans, tie them up, put them in the boats and bring them back, you see. Well, when they captured the Canadians that done the Dieppe raid, the Germans found this record about tying them up and bringing them back to England. So Hitler made the order to tie everybody up in the camps, English prisoners. They were tied up with string behind their backs. To go to the toilet, you had to go two had to go to the toilet. Then they made the handcuffs, the chains. You were chained at the back first, but then you were chained at the front, because you couldn't do anything back to back, you know. We were chained up. Well, then our chaps get so clever in the camps. They are really clever. As soon as the chains was put on, they used to pick the locks and they used to come. So in the end, the Germans got so fed up that they used to come down and issue the chains out too. And that was how it was. Our chaps always got over the top of everybody, you know.
But coming back to Auschwitz, so your job was a welding job on the pipes?
Yeah, more welding. But then the Germans said that I'd be the Commando Führer, that is in charge of the working party. Yeah? So my job was to go round and see they were working all right. But what I used to do, I used to go round and see the poles and whatnot and do a bit of bargain and get a few eggs off them and things like that. And that's what I used to do.
So you were a supervisor?
Yeah, well, I was just in charge of the party. Everything I knew the party had done, come back on me, sort of, see. And I used to march them back to the works behind the German guards. We used to go out of the works, we had to go through the gates. And on the gates was Russians. It was white Russians, they were for the Tsar part. Tsar of Russia's palace, you know, the royalists. They were swines, they were. And we used to go by and they couldn't read. That we suppose a settle, what's called a settle, was Auschwitz to get you free, right, to go out to works, you know. And we swung there, and there was only a bit of paper, but the Russians couldn't read. So we used to walk out the camp, and the guards were with us, mind, we weren't alone. And we had to go back to the art camp. But there was always got some way you got over things that was with our people. Always. And so I'll give them credit too. If the Englishman's in captivity, he'll find a way out of it.
Why was it that you weren't punished for the sabotage that you did?
They didn't catch us, did they, see? I was caught once, but I was caught once as I smashed these instruments, but I didn't know there was a pole up painting the gantry. The pole was up painting these gantry pipes, the big pipes on there. And he went and reported me to the Germans. But I got away with that. A bit of telling tales and all that. See, I was lucky I picked up German, you see.